strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford.
Pressure from the Badger, and Badger don't care!
Big time run by David Johnson.
Pitch to fifth, running straight ahead, into the end zone, the shovel pass for the touchdown and the win!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Cardinals headquarters.
If you're Dale Buchanan, you crush people. It's what you do.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
We're ready to go out there and hit them every play.
And Ron Wolfley.
Red Sea, you got to be feeling it right now.
Unleash the fury.
Wolf, we aren't just loaded like one of your dinner plates. We are loaded like one of your dinner plates when you only get one time through the buffet line.
You don't have a biscuit, do you, Paul?
You know how you maximize surface area when you only get one time through the line in the team meal room?
Speaking of surface area, look at your forehead.
Okay. Just a typical Thursday in early May. And yes, we are off and running there. The volley has begun. The Big Red Rage. Ron Wolfley there. Paul Calvisi here. Soon to be joined by the offensive coordinator and O-line coach of the Arizona Cardinals, Harold Goodwin. But oh, so much more here, Ron Wolfley.
Once again,
just a typical Thursday in early May where they released an all-pro linebacker, signed a potential franchise quarterback, had a press conference featuring three of the top draft picks, and rookie minicamp starts tomorrow.
There was a lot going on. Is that what you're saying, Paul?
Let's start with a departure. Let's start right there. Darrell Washington is now officially, after more than 3 years, an ex, a former Arizona Cardinal. Your reaction?
Yeah, the odds were always against Darrell Washington, I think, becoming an Arizona Cardinal. I know he's been reinstated. I hope he gets his life figured out. I hope he goes on and lives a productive, happy life and gets another opportunity to support his family, take care of himself. I'm a big believer in second chances, but I will say that I'm glad that it's over here, because I think ultimately the speculation just swirling around D-Wash, I think the D-Wash saga being over is actually a good thing and a step moving forward, because I think at some point it could have become a real distraction, Paul.
I think it did become a distraction. I mean, look at this past week. I absolutely agree. You know, maybe some of the same reasons that Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job, or Tim Tebow didn't have a job, or a Johnny Manziel doesn't have a job. It just, teams don't like distractions that take away from the focus of getting ready for a season. I mean, there was so much chatter, and it superseded everything else. And then you wonder how much longer would that continue if he continues to be a member of the Arizona Cardinals. There was a meeting. There was not an agreement on going forward. I would say maybe a year or two ago, there wouldn't even been an appetite for a meeting. There probably would have been zero tolerance. So I think the organization considered it. Obviously, there wasn't a meeting of the minds on that one when Darrell Washington reportedly met with Michael Bidwill and Steve Keim and Bruce Arians. Doesn't mean we didn't think about it. I mean, he was a dynamic talent.
No doubt.
He was an all-pro linebacker. And, you know, there was a moment there where I know I certainly daydreamed about a Carlos Dansby and Darrell Washington and a Hassan Reddick and Dayon Buchanan. But the other thing, Wolf, and you tell me if I'm wrong on this, do you really want to bring a Darrell Washington back into that room when you have a first-round pick in Hassan Reddick? There's a risk there.
Sure, there's no doubt about it, Paulie. But if you were going to bring back Darrell Washington at some point in time, you were going to bring him back under the auspices that he has recovered, as in past tense. It's a situation where you were going to bring him in if you still thought he had the volatility to him, right? So look, I think one of the other factors into this, Paulie, was just the fact that that was a very crowded room, as a matter of fact. And if, in fact, there was a process, a way, if you will, for Darrell Washington to come back and be an Arizona Cardinal, I think at some point in time he came up against an obstacle that the Cardinals said, this is a benchmark that you've got to meet. And I think ultimately he didn't meet all of that. Whatever that was, he obviously did not meet it, and that's the reason why he's not getting the opportunity.
And to me, no matter how convincing he might have been in that room, you can't look at each other if you're the decision makers of the Arizona Cardinals and truly count on Darryl Washington. You've been there, done that, and he left you high and dry.
Yes.
And so as you try and formulate your team, you need players you can count on. And as great a talent as he might be, and we do use Mike because it's been 3 years since he's been on a field, ultimately, I don't know, can you put him up on that depth chart and really count on him all season long?
It's about trust on the field and trust off the field.
Now, Wolf, earlier we got to know Dorian Johnson, the fourth-round pick, right?
Love this kid.
Under no circumstances are you to ask Harold Goodwin if he's going to vie for a starting job, because we know Goody doesn't like the rookies. Right?
That'll be question one.
He won't play the rookies. Harold Goodwin next on the Big Red Rage.
Gabbert takes the snap, standing in the pocket, throws to the middle, caught, touchdown 49ers! Wow. Gabbert throws a beautiful post.
Perfectly on time, a laser shot from Blaine Gabbert.
The former 10th pick overall in the 2011 draft, the same draft with Patrick Peterson, the same draft where the Arizona Cardinals took serious consideration of Blaine Gabbert, a potential franchise QB in that draft. Well, he now is an Arizona Cardinal. After being released by the San Francisco 49ers, he signs a one-year deal, reportedly $850K or so. And you're here to talk about it on the Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi here, Ron Wolfley there, and we say welcome in to Harold Goodwin, offensive coordinator and O-line coach. Goody, how's the offseason treating you?
It's been good. It's been good. We're getting back to football starting tomorrow with the rookies, but let me just say this. It's good to see you too.
Oh, yeah, you know he's missed football now.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know it.
Hey, Goody, talk a little bit about Blaine Gabbert and what he brings to the field.
I think he's the guy that B.A. worked out last week along with Steve, and Coach Moore, I think, was out there also, and they liked the way he spun the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You see the size in him. I saw him today for the first time, and he looks the part. And B.A. thinks he has upside, and we all think that B.A. does a great job with quarterbacks as far as mentoring them. And, you know, B.A.'s quarterback whisperer, so he sees something in him.
Well, and you saw him up close. You saw him in week five right there from the sidelines in Santa Clara against the Niners. Now, you look at the box score, the stats aren't kind, but the eyeball test, to me, in what I remember that game, I mean, he could play.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, he had some balls that were dropped, and he can get around as far as moving his feet in the pocket and scrambling and getting your yards that way. Like I said, B.A. thinks he has upside, and, you know, there's talent there. He's the guy that's bounced around the league, unfortunately. But, you know, a fresh start here, get a year to sit behind Carson, learn the system. And who knows? This guy may be the limit.
Goody, does it seem like the quarterback position in the National Football League is really changing when it comes to how you're going to try to groom or prepare a quarterback for the future? It just seems like the definition of a franchise quarterback is changing, where now all of a sudden you'll reach on a kid like Mitchell Trubisky that started 13 games for North Carolina, and maybe you'll reach on a guy like a Patrick Mahomes, like we saw the Kansas City Chiefs move up to number 10 to draft him there. And it just seems like, look, if you're big, if you've got an arm, and you've got the NFL body, and maybe if you're smart, this is the definition of a new franchise quarterback, because we're going to have to mold him into the NFL game.
Yeah, I guess that's why they pay most of us the big bucks. We got to coach them up. I think one of the things now with these quarterbacks come out, and I hate to say it, it's the no huddle. Everything's about speed. And, you know, you're in college. You only have so much time to work with these guys. So you want to do the quickest and the best thing you can do to try to have these guys create and make plays. So they're not doing a whole lot of progression reading, not reading a lot of coverages. And most of the time they just look to the sideline. They see a sign and says, hey, throw the ball there. But right now you're just basically looking at raw talent and seeing if you can develop it.
On that note, too, you were even talking about this the last time I think we had you on here. You were talking about the nonverbal stuff, the fact that you're not communicating. The fact that a quarterback of the NFL is not communicating is mind-numbing to me, but that's what's coming out of college now.
Yeah, a lot of these guys have never been in a huddle. So, like, tomorrow when we go out there on the grass, we're going to get in a huddle, and they're going to be like, what is this?
Calling a play for a quarterback.
Yes.
I mean, do you literally, as NFL coaches, take a moment to teach huddling up?
If I had to tell you what some of the things we have to do, we basically start from ground zero and work our way forward. It's you know, it's crazy just because of the no huddle stuff.
What are some of the things you look for in a quarterback?
To me, you just want, first off, is the athletic. Obviously, the arm is huge, and you're just trying to look for any semblance of progression reading in the offense that he may have ran in college. So that's the things we look for. And obviously, when we bring him in, we talk to him. You want to see and put him on the board and see how much information they can retain and regurgitate to
you. That is really the disconnect, isn't it? I mean, it's, look, what your eyes are seeing, it sends messages to your brain.
Yes.
Right? If only you could intercept the messages and try to understand what it is that the eyes are seeing,
yeah,
and what kind of messages it's sending to the brain, because that really is the difference between a successful quarterback and one that isn't.
Yeah, because you get here, you're talking about audibles, you're talking about the change of protections, the snap count, you know, having multiple snap counts. There's a whole bunch of things. You got to read coverages. It could be cover two on one side. It could be quarters on the other side. So there's a whole lot of things that go into playing a position.
Three teams ahead of the Cardinals in the draft in that first round took a quarterback, two of which traded up in front of the Cardinals for essentially the same scenario you're getting with Blaine Gabbert, just a chance to check out a guy, take him for a test drive, see if you really have a potential NFL quarterback. In fact, that was the conversation with Michael Bidwell on the QB situation, and now the newest guy, the one-year deal to Blaine Gabbert.
We've got a tremendous quarterback who's our starting quarterback, Carson Palmer. We've got another quarterback who sometimes people forget about how good Drew is. I leave these decisions up to BA and to Steve. Blaine Gabbert is somebody that we thought highly of a few years ago. He was coming out of college. I know that BA did as well.
All right, we're on board with OC Harold Gooden. I bring that up because if my math is correct in looking at his career, he's had six different offensive coordinators in six seasons in the NFL.
It's been quite a few. And, we know it's a lot of turnover in this league, not only as a player, but it's coaches too. So, you know, this is an opportunity for him to just come in, sit back, relax, and just learn and all, you know, get the opportunity to go out and show what he can do.
I mean, how challenging is that for a quarterback, a young quarterback? He started with Dirk Cutter 6 years ago. He just wrapped up with Chip Kelly. I mean, totally disparate systems.
Yes.
In between, he had four different guys. That's like Alex Smith all over again.
It's hard, but the good thing is he can come in and relax. He doesn't have any pressure on him. He's not looking to be the starter right now, so it gives him opportunity to just sit back, watch, learn from Coach Moore, learn from Byron, learn from Carson, and you know, move forward.
Goody, one of these days you're going to be a head coach in the National Football League.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, right, exactly. And you're going to have to worry about problems that are going to face a football team. You're going to have to worry about questions like this right here. How important is it that you find a quarterback of the future, even if that means that he's not going to play for a couple of seasons?
I think it's pivotal. You think about the teams that win Super Bowls every year, the teams that compete in the playoffs every year, they have a trigger man. You cannot win in this league. I know everybody wants to talk about defense, which I'm with that a little bit, but we all know it's an offensive-driven league, and if you don't have a trigger man, it's an uphill battle.
And you're willing to go ahead, bring somebody in, even if he doesn't, if he's not ready to play for 2 years.
We're trying to get him prepared. All right, the test is not
really
now. The test is down the road.
That really has kind of changed, though, Goody. It really is, yeah, because for the most part, you had guys you want to draft a quarterback. I'm trying to think about 5, 7, 8 years ago, draft a quarterback. Man, he's going to play right now. That was the general theory. He was going to play. Get him out there on the field. He's not going to be able to learn on the sideline. But once again, because it's so disparate between the college and the pro game, it's almost the wave of the future now. This is what you're going to do. You're going to sit them down.
Got to sit them down. And like it goes back to, once again, the offenses these guys are coming up in college. And you think about, not to, you know, he's a Michigan grad, but he's also a great player. Tom Brady came up in a pro-style offense.
Mm-hmm.
We all heard about Robert Griffin. Mm-hmm. Look where he is now, gentlemen.
Yep.
A no-huddle system in college. He's looking for a job. And that's just the nature of the beast. But as coaches, we got to be prepared for this, and we got to make sure when those guys get here, we can coach them. We got to make sure that we're earning our pay as well.
And it's not just the quarterback spot. You're balancing winning now with the future in terms of the entire organization.
Yes.
And team president Michael Bidwell was talking about that.
We're in a win now mode, but you look at the players we've drafted in the core group that we're continuing to extend and develop. You know, this team is built for the future as well. Obviously, at some point, we're going to need to address long-term the quarterback situation, but there's some time there. But we're built to win now, and that's what everybody's focus is on.
It was BA's charity golf tournament, and Carson was meeting the media, and a lot of guys were growing on the hall, the window thing, because the popular storyline and narrative in the offseason, the national media guys, the Cardinals' window is closed. And Carson's like, don't give me the window stuff. We hear that every offseason. Everybody, you know. And I said, you know what? That's your marketing mantra this year. We don't do windows.
No.
That's
no.
what you guys should put on the bulletin board.
No, every day you go on the grass, every time you take the field, you got an opportunity. And as long as we gel and come together as a team, do a better job this year, finishing in the fourth quarter, who knows what's going to happen. I don't care if it's this year or next year. We have to come together. We have to do a better job of executing. I don't give a crap who's at quarterback, who's on defense. We have to come together as a team and execute in all three phases.
Would you be mad at me if I was the one chanting, no QBs, no QBs, no? Would you be mad at me?
No, you got your own opinion. That's good.
Can you practice finishing games? Starting rookie minicamp, can you practice that?
Yeah, we do drills at the end of practice every year where we simulate something that may happen in, at the end of a game. It'd be a two-minute situation or just some kind of odd situation that you never think of on a daily basis. We try to cover all those throughout the offseason.
Because that was the difference between 15 and 16 was the Cardinals' record at the very end of games in one-score games.
Yeah, it's not like we went out there and we were getting our head beat in every weekend. Right. We were in the games and we just screwed them up at the end.
All right, when we come back here, we're going to get in the three-point stance. We're going to go in the trenches and get a little dirty here. We'll talk about the offensive line, some of the rookies, young guys, on all, no big deal, just a couple of tackles flipping sides.
We're going to win now, no QBs.
It's the Big Red Rage. Harold Goodwin on board as we continue from Cardinals HQ.
I'm David Johnson of your Arizona Cardinals, and we're here at the Grand Canyon National Park, the wonder of the world. I'm here with my good friends, Micah and Kristen Glasser, and our pick is in. With the 115th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select...
Dorian Johnson.
Dorian Johnson, guard, Pittsburgh.
That was a money moment, no doubt, during the weekend and the draft coverage and just the backdrop in the Grand Canyon and then the Glasser family, fallen Phoenix police officer David Glasser and... and his son right there, that was memorable in many ways. And what a way to come into the NFL. If you're Dorian Johnson, the fourth-round pick out of Pittsburgh, we are on the Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, pleasure to be joined by his O-line coach and offensive coordinator, Harold Goodwin. Some first impressions on Dorian Johnson so far, Coach.
Solid individual, very quiet. He's going to have a hard time fitting in our room because he doesn't talk a whole bunch. But when it comes to playing on the field, being in between the lines, he's going to be a good player for us. He's going to have an opportunity to do some great things. And, you know, the biggest learning curve for him would be just all the terminology and the volume of offense that we have.
Before we get your take on Will Holden, just rookies in general, what is your take on rookies, especially rookie offensive linemen?
They got a lot to learn.
I mean, it's talk about the disparity between quarterbacks at the college level and at the NFL level. It's the same thing for offensive linemen, right?
Yeah, because, you know, same thing, no huddle offenses. I think I went to Dorian and worked him out at Pitt. And I took him in the classroom. We were probably in there for about 2 hours. And, you know, their offense was probably about four runs and like three or four protections.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Wow.
We're gonna surpass that tomorrow when we start putting in place. that's what he's dealing with.
Oh, my gosh. That is staggering. The divide between the NFL and college football.
It's huge.
I remember this time a year ago, we were talking about Evan Bame. And we're saying he's a four-year starter at Mizzou. He's the son of a coach. He's going to come in. He's going to give AQ a run for his money. He'll get this. And then we realized midway through training camp, he wasn't even close just because he was still swimming mentally, right?
Yeah, I'm still cussing him out every day. So, yeah. You know, he played those last two games and had a couple good flashes of some of his ability. Did turn a guy a time or two free, but honest mistakes, I'll give him that one, but he can't do that anymore. But there is a learning curve, and B.A.'s always said since I've been with him since 2007, you really don't want to count on a rookie till you get past Thanksgiving.
Mm. Goody, you cuss everybody out every day. I mean,
I try not to. I always coach as if my mom's out there listening.
Yeah, right. Okay. Sure you do. Will Holden, talk a little bit about this kid from Vandy.
Smart individual, 6'7", a little bit over 300 pounds, has played guard, has played tackle. I'm looking for him to be a swing tackle, that kind of 6 or 7 man lineman on game day. He's a guy with a lot of upside who can potentially someday possibly be a starter.
You got to love the fact he was a 3-year starter in the SEC, right? Seeing all that talent off the edge?
High-level football. He's played against some of the best and seen some of the best. So coming in here, he shouldn't be afraid, and I'm looking forward to see what he can do.
Could he be one of the offensive linemen? Because you're only dressing 7 for the most part on game day, right?
Yes.
So you need a guy that can play tackle to tackle.
Correct.
Maybe not center, but yeah, a guy that can play right tackle, right guard, left tackle, all the way across the offensive line. Could he be that guy?
He could be that guy. He I kind of see him in that role at John Wetzel, just a Swiss Army knife that could play anything, obviously,
right,
but center. Not quite like Earl in the past, but he's a guy that should have opportunity to play early if need be.
So if you're one of these rookie old linemen right now, rookie mini camp, right, is coming this weekend, what don't they know? I mean, they think they know, but what don't they know about the NFL yet?
The game is faster, and it's going to be a lot more terminology coming at them. Probably a lot more screaming, and the expectation is just going to be higher because we're looking for, you know, 53 guys at the end of the day. And maybe, you know, they feel like they're confident, but sometimes you can be overconfident. But they need to come out, relax, and not get too hyped, soak in information, and just try to do the right things. The last thing you want to do in an opportunity like this is do the wrong thing.
Well, the GM, Steve Keim, sat in that very seat, right, Wolf? And he talked about football intellect, football IQ, how it was a big part of the offseason trying to find those guys not only love the game, but know the game. And here's the GM talking about Dorian Johnson, the fourth-round rookie.
I think is another guy who can come in and play right guard, left guard, potentially right tackle, has got really good feet, physical at the point of attack. And when I talk to him in person, very articulate, sharp guy, and again, kind of what we stuck with, passionate for the game.
What should he be looking at? If you're Will Holden, if you're Dorian Johnson, and you're looking at Mike Iupati, you're looking at a Jared Valdir, what in particular should they pay attention to?
Just the way they handle themselves day in and day out. Jared's a professional. Every day he's leading our room. He's doing things the right way. He's looking to do extra. So with Mike doing the same thing, those guys should just come in and follow their lead. That's all they have to do. Don't try to impress anybody. Just be yourself and be ready when your time comes.
Goody, when you're talking about offensive linemen in a rookie mini camp where you have helmets on and jerseys, you're playing patty cake, baker's man for the most part. What can you really evaluate?
Mostly it's just the brain. That's what we're evaluating, the brain, and you can see some flashes of athleticism. But for the most part, I went back just a little while ago before I came down and watched last year's camp. You're just looking for the guys that make the least mental errors. That's what we're looking for, the guys that can take information from the classroom and walkthroughs and take it to the grass at a full speed level. So that's what I'm looking for, and hopefully those guys impress us.
Is that one of the reasons why you purposely don't really mind if you dump a ton of terminology and a ton of concepts and protections and plays on them just to see how they absorb that, right?
Correct. Who can soak it in, regurgitate it the fastest? That's what we're looking for. And we're never going to be afraid because we're installing things just like we do with the rest of the guys here. So we're not going to do anything different. Who can learn?
We're on board with OC and O-line coach Harold Goodwin on the Big Red Rage. More than once this offseason, BA mentioned how this team has to protect Carson Palmer better. Is that a mandate for better play out of the O-line, or is he talking about scheme?
I just think it's more about O-line play mostly because the scheme has been the same over the years. Hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood, we don't have the injuries that we had last year. Some of the guys we entered the season with, if you had told me that in the beginning of the season, I would have been a little skeptical of how the season would have went. But, as the season went along and those last 2 weeks, guys started playing together a little bit more. Things got a little bit better. And, when it comes to protection, it's not just the O-line thing. I don't want the fans out there or anybody to think it's the O-line thing. It's everybody. It's all 11 guys on the grass. Sometimes it's the quarterback throwing the ball when he's hot. Sometimes it's the receiver running the hot. And sometimes it's the halfback blocking his guy. So it's a group effort. But for the most part, we know, and I know as an O-line coach, we're always going to take the brunt of the pressure. So we're going to do a better job because we know without Carson, it's going to be a tough hill to walk up. So we'll be ready.
Goody, in 2017, do you see us actually using more 7-man protections, 8-man protections? Do you see that?
Well, we used a little last year. I don't think anything
I mean, more than what we've done last year.
We talked about it a little bit, but, we're going to do what we do, and I just got to do a better job coaching.
It might be another great smokescreen. There was a smokescreen the Cardinals were going to take a quarterback in the draft. It didn't happen. And now maybe there's a smokescreen, game plan-wise, the Cardinals are going to max protect all of a sudden. And neither one's really going to happen. You watch. That'll be.
BA, you can see the barfing already.
He doesn't want to hear
the 8-man protection.
He doesn't want to hear the words max protect. That's not in his vernacular. No. By the way, we're going to hear from the rookies who met the media today, right? Your second, third, and fourth round picks. We'll hear from them a little bit later. We'll continue on. You know what? We'll talk about the veterans on this offensive line next with Harold Goodwin, OC and O-line coach here on the Big Red Rage.
Works out like a wild man. He's got his own gym and all that stuff, and he's a fitness nut, so he makes his own beer. That's a pretty damn good combination.
You tried it?
No, he won't bring me any. Damn, I got to get some. I think he wants me to buy it or something. I don't know.
That's the first time Coach Arians has ever been wrong, because Jared's a very good chair, and he'll tell you his brew house is always open, and I've visited multiple times, and he's like a chemist. Him being the dumb offensive lineman is not correct, because the guy is very intelligent. He uses words I don't know how to spell when it comes to brewing beer, and he's very good, and he's a very good share.
That's Carson Palmer, BA, and Jared Valdir, who's a budding brewmaster, and no joke on that one. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and Harold Goodwin, the offensive coordinator, line coach here on the Big Red Rage. No joke. If you engage him in a conversation of brewing beer, it takes about 5 seconds and it's way over your head. You better be a chemist or you're not following anything he says.
Yeah, and you won't get a word in either.
No, you're right.
You're just going to sit there and listen.
You're right. You want to talk football, he'll give you like 5 second sound bites. You start talking about beer. Oh, yeah, and he'll hold a talk show.
You could totally see Jared walking around, right, with a robe on in a tonsure haircut, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no question. You could see that. These monks that are brewing the beer. That's Jared Valdir.
No doubt. No doubt.
Have you tried it, though, by the way? Have you partaken?
No, I'm not a beer drinker, and he has yet to offer any. So,
So apparently he's not offering to the coaches. It's just his teammates.
No. I think you have to go to his house, though. I don't think he's going to physically bring you any. I think you have to go partake at his house.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, how about this chemistry experiment we call going from left tackle to right tackle? How's that going?
It's been going good. You know, obviously we hadn't been out there versus any defensive players because it's phase two. But starting next Tuesday, we'll see what it looks like. But so far, so good. DJ settling at left and Jared settling at right.
So when it comes to actually learning the position right now, you feel really, really good about DJ Humphreys absorbing it all mentally. Does he look like he's on top of it?
He looks like he's on top of it. I give him credit. He's matured because we all know what he was as a rookie. He's matured so much. And it's just kind of fun to watch as a coach and, you know, kind of like a mentor-type figure in his life to see him, you know, become a better father to his own kid and just concentrate on more in football. And he knows what it takes now, came back in great shape, and he's added a little weight to him. I think he got too lean working out this summer, but he's getting his weight back up. He looks good. His brain's working good, which is the most important thing to me.
Well, and he probably appreciates the left tackle position like never before, right? Because it was taken away from him for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. And the biggest thing him as a rookie was just I don't think he knew how to work. And I think he probably would never say it. There was a little bit of disappointment when we shoved him over at right. But you can see the lights are on in his head right now. The brain is just going crazy because he's excited about being on the left side.
What has Jared Valdir, what has he been saying in regard to the right tackle spot? Has he been talking to you about it and – how does he feel about being a right tackle as opposed to a left?
He has not publicly said anything to me about how he feels about it, but at the end of the day, he's a team player. He's going to do what's best for the team. Me and him have never had a conversation about it other than moving over there. I think if he had any displeasure, he would never say it because at the end of the day, we're all in it together. We all want to win. We want to put the people in the best spots to win games.
You know, it's a good sign because the day after the season ended, he met the media, and the media kept bringing it up, and he shared with the media it wouldn't be his first choice.
Yeah.
But once it was presented to him as, well, this is what's going to happen, he bought in. He's all in.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he still gets that check every week, right?
Of course, it always comes back to the cash.
He'll be assigned accordingly. Is that's what you're saying? But how big a challenge is it? Because DJ Humphreys spent a lot of time talking about how it was so foreign to him. You're in a different stance. And, I mean, it's not that easy, is it? I mean, there's got to be a degree of difficulty for him, even though he's a veteran.
Yeah, I think Jared's been there before in the past. But, you know, it's a great time of year where he had phase two to kind of get himself used to it, to get over there and, you know, get in the stands, take a set. So there's still a bit of a learning curve to get back used to it, but it's the off season, so we got plenty of time.
Are we going to have a rookie right guard, Dorian Johnson? What are the odds that Dorian Johnson actually could start?
Well, I'm all about the spirit of competition. So right now between him, Wetzel, and Evan Bame, let him have at it, baby. Let him have at it. He's in it. We drafted him for a reason. There's a lot of upside there. He's a good football player who's physical in the trenches, and he's a smart kid, so we're going to see what's happening.
Let me ask you about one guy. Wolf and I were talking with Evan Mathis at the end of the year, right, who has since retired, and he said don't sleep on Cole Toner. He was bullish on Cole Toner, you know, the kid out of Harvard a year ago. You know, if he was able to put on some weight and some muscle mass, he liked his chances. Where do you think he fits in?
He's coming along nicely. He's playing a little center guard right now, and his brain's getting better as far as football goes, too. Now, he's a Harvard guy, and let me just tell you, book smart doesn't translate to football smart. But he's
right.
Come a long way, and he'll tell you. And I love Cole to death. He, you know, he's working on that body. It's not quite like mine yet, but he's getting there, all the muscles and stuff.
Now it's getting real.
Yeah.
Extremely real around here now.
Okay, philosophically, you know how I love this stuff, right? I love talking about the philosophy of offense here. How about the philosophy of driving somebody else into the ground? Would you rather do it with a power scheme, a gap scheme, or a zone scheme? What are we going to change? Are we going to change anything about how we run the ball in 2017?
We've added a wrinkle or two. Me and B.A. and Coach Zerline discussed a couple things that we're going to throw at you a little different this year. And but, you know, the core is still the core. We're still going to run 22-23 double. Probably going to tell you we're going to run it and try to shove it down your throat. Because we know right now when it's, you know, at the end of the game, it's the fourth quarter and you're looking for a run, and B.A. is going to ask me, that's what I'm going to say. But we got another wrinkle or two we were going to throw in. and you know, get some things going.
Okay, so I'll do what I do best, and I'll ask the dumb guy question. If they know it's coming, 22 and 23 double, why does it work?
Because it's man on man. It's an attitude play. It's the fourth quarter. And the good thing, the best thing I love about football, I won't forget this ever. Stanford was playing Oregon a couple years ago, and they ran power at least 8 times in a row. And Oregon knew it was coming. They cannot stop it. As a lineman, as a fullback, as a tight end, as a halfback, when you know they know what's coming and you can still shove it down their throat, oh, that is the most exciting ecstasy you can get out of the game.
And it all starts in the offseason. You heard Harold Goodwin here mention phase two. Well, if you've been going to azcardinals.com, you've been treated to a brand new video series called Groundwork. This is all access, and they focus on different players at different times and the tasks they have at hand. Here we go with DJ Humphreys.
It's fun getting back to playing left tackle. You know, I never really played right tackle. Last year was my first time playing that, and it's just fun to be back doing something I've been doing my whole life since I've been playing offensive line. Being moved back to left tackle and seeing it on paper was, you know, I mean, it was a big deal for me because in the NFL, we all know that's a big deal as far as offensive linemen. During this offseason training that we're doing, I'm just trying to maintain all the hard work I put in when I was away from the team. You know, I did a lot of hard work this offseason, and I'm just trying to maintain that and keep building on my strength and building camaraderie with the O-line. Probably the main thing that I'm focusing on right now is honing in on the craft and maintaining strength and gaining strength and perfecting the little things, stuff that I shouldn't have to think about in the games that I think about being a young player and making a lot of stuff effortless. Now is when I put in the groundwork for 2017. For me, that means showing up every day and performing on a high level.
DJ Humphreys in a brand new video series on azcardinals.com. Groundwork is what it's called.
Love that stuff.
The Emmy Award-winning video department from the Arizona Cardinals. And I mean, great stuff. Great stuff. They use the GoPros out there. They're like almost, you know, almost in the huddle, right? Got guys mic'd up. When you're mic'd up, by the way, because they've mic'd you up many times, you know, how self-conscious are you? Do you invite that? Do you welcome that?
I just heard a lot of bleeps, like I think the last time I was on there. But I try to keep it clean most of the time. But, you know, you get back out there on the grass and you just get into your mindset of coaching and making guys better. So sometimes I lose myself.
It's one of the things I love about DJ Humphreys and did not know.
Yeah.
He's nasty.
Oh, yeah.
He is.
He plays with an attitude. Goody, one of my favorite things stepping into a huddle was an offensive lineman who had that attitude. Yeah.
You know, most impressive about that segment we just heard from him was you can hear the maturity.
Yep.
The maturity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's night and day since 2 years ago, since he was a rookie. And by the way, to Wolf's point, I found out on the sideline in the New England opener when he was going at it with Alan Branch.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Branch is a big dude with a nasty edge to him.
Big dude.
And DJ Humphreys was feeding it to him all game and telling him about it.
Yeah, we need more of that. We need more of that from all five of them.
I mean, I discovered something about DJ Humphreys that first game. Wow.
And typically, you've got these behemoths that are docile for the most part, right? Not DJ.
Yeah, let's wake all five of them up. Wake the sleeping giants.
All right, awesome. So we talked about O-line. We talked about quarterback. How about the guys you're going to throw it to, including a rookie? We'll talk about the wide receivers next with Harold Goodwin on the Big Red Rage.
Caught for a touchdown by John Brown. Caught on the goal line, and it's a touchdown for John Brown. Palmer fires deep middle in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, John Brown!
Skinny player. Skinny post.
It is caught by John Brown of the five, spins out of a tackle and into the end zone for the touchdown.
That is a great call right there. Wolf and Pash, the collective voice of the Arizona Cardinals. And yeah, that says it all. Skinny player, skinny post. You know something else I think of when I think of John Brown? The smile. And in the phase two work, what took me back the most so far is out on the field, and John Brown was smiling. And that is something we did not see last season. It is a Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and Harold Goodwin. Would you agree with that assessment?
Bird gang, he is back.
Ooh.
He is back. And that's going to make a world of difference in our offense because we missed him dearly last year. All the medical issues are a thing of the past. He's got everything in check. And I was talking to Coach Drake today, and he was just happy just to see him out there. And he was proud of just the way he looked. And he feels like he's going to have an exceptional year this year.
And talk a little bit about what John Brown does schematically to a team.
He's going to take the top off for you. He's going to get down the field.
And what does that mean, Goody? I mean, in other words, how does that impact the defense in the secondary?
He's going to take the two deep safeties that play too deep, and he's going to make them back up, and he's going to leave all the intermediate routes for Larry and all the rest of the receivers to get open with.
And the windows get bigger, right?
And if they want to play something, they don't want to cover him, and then he's running down the seam. You got big explosive plays, which we all know we love the explosive plays right here. So I just think for him being the backside receiver of the X and getting the ball in his hands right away, things like that are going to be special.
You know what I think of? I think of players, right? I mean, strategically, of course, you've got a defensive coordinator, and a defensive coordinator looks at John Brown and says, okay, listen, now this guy can run all week long. That's what he's saying. This guy can run. Yeah. This guy can run, right? But even as a player, right, put yourself into that player's position, right, behind the cage. You're going to back up just a little bit. Yeah, if you know you've got John Brown one-on-one, you're going to back up just a little bit.
If you want to think what this guy is capable of, just go back to Philadelphia, the two-minute drill. He gets the safety, home run, we win the game. That's the kind of player he is. And when he's on, man, he's probably one of the best in the league.
And I know you're not the team doctor, but we can count on this. I mean, you think he's back to stay? His health is dialed in. They have it figured out?
I think they got it figured out. He's good to go. And he looks like a whole different person, like you said.
Wow.
He's smiling all the time, and he's joking, so he's back.
He is.
He's no longer walking around looking like he's in pain or he's miserable.
Talk about Skeletor. At least I call him that, J.J. Nelson, right? Talk about his development.
Come a long way. You know, we still can't get him. Seems like he can never gain weight. But just as far as a route runner, the understanding of the offense, he's come light years. And I expect to see him more out there. I'm sure B.A.'s excited about just having all these receivers in general.
Goody, I would imagine the confidence that he gained last year. Like, he had a couple of high-profile drops, but, man, he made some huge plays. I would imagine the confidence that he's going to take from that is going to carry over this year.
Yeah, well, huge plays, and he's going to make a whole bunch. But I wish that Seattle game when at home, he would have gotten the end zone. But that's one play where I was going to rib him about. But his confidence level is sky high right now, and we're going to depend a lot on him.
So you got John Brown in his 4.34. You got J.J. Nelson in his 4.28. And now you drafted Chad Williams out of Grambling, and he runs a 4.4. Here's B.A. talking about his rookie receiver.
I mean, I absolutely love Chad. My favorite round in the draft is 3. This is a bigger, more explosive, more physical, fast receiver. He's very physical with his hands. Everybody down there raves about him and his work ethic, and another alpha-type guy that really has a chance to jump in right away.
You know, no doubt about that. He met the media, very outgoing personality, and he is a confident guy. I was about to say quiet confidence, not so much, even as a rookie. I mean, he's talking about what a basketball player was on a state champion high school team, and he said he got away from basketball because when you touch someone, it's a foul. He likes the physicality of football, and he said he treats a football in the air like a rebound. He goes up and he snatches it like he's snatching a rebound. That's the way he's always viewed pass receiving.
Yeah, there was a lot of passion this room when we got ready for the draft. When this guy came up, Coach Drake, I think Terry McDonough, everybody got excited about what this guy could bring to the table. As we move forward here, knowing that one day Larry is going to walk away from the game, and you talk about somebody that can carry the torch, this is the guy that everybody thinks can do that.
So overall, how do you feel about the wide receiver room right now?
I've been in the league. This would be my 14th year. I don't think I've ever seen a receiver room stacked this good.
I mean,
so I feel really good about it.
Think of it in the context of a Blaine Gabbert. And look, to be kind, okay, all right, you know, the Niners are rebuilding, right?
Yes,
but,
right.
I mean, they had no talent in that receiver room a year ago.
Yes.
And now you're Blaine Gabbert, and you're going to come into this offense, and you're going to look around. It's night and day.
Oh, yeah, and you just get back and sit and watch, you know, especially with him sitting behind Carson, and you get to see what you could possibly have to work with in the future. I mean, you're smiling, you're going home and kissing the baby and everything, so you're feeling good about it.
I mean, you got a running back that is running wide receiver routes better than their wide receivers in San Francisco for
almost
Blaine.
Almost 1,000-yard receiver.
Right. And then you got Andre Ellington, a former running back, who's running with the receivers out there. We've seen that.
That's right.
We've also seen Troy Nicholas. Troy Nicholas, man, if he could stay healthy, what could he do?
He could be special. Yeah, I just sit here every day out there and watch him stretch and watch him work out on his own, get loose with practice and some of the things he's starting to do now. I think he's starting to mature into that player we think he could be. He's just got to stay healthy.
Remember that old John Carlson quote, you know, Troy Nicholas looks like he swallowed a bear. I mean, he's such an enormous dude,
he
and he moves, and he catches the ball.
Yes.
If he could just stay healthy, him
like
and Jermaine
Troy.
Gresham, I mean, that would be all right, we'll come back with Harold Goodwin on the Big Red Rage. We'll hear from some of the rookies what they had to say earlier today as we get to know the players and the personalities here from Cardinals headquarters.
With the 36th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Buda Baker, defensive back from Washington.
Wow. That's a football player right there.
Buda Baker, a guy that jumped off the tape at us. Tremendous football player. Has everything we want in terms of passion, football character, and like we've talked about over and over, a hybrid player that has the ability to play multiple positions.
This is GM Steve Keim, who told us on the Cardinals spring tailgate out of University of Phoenix Stadium. It's the first draft since Larry Fitzgerald and Carlos Dansby, where the Cardinals in the first two rounds took two players in their top 20 on the board.
Wow.
So then you understand why they traded up to take Buda Baker, who met the media today. It is the Big Red Rage, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and Harold Goodwin. And I thought Wolf did a great job recently in breaking down Buda Baker as an X factor and how many different X factors there can be on this Cardinals defense when you start thinking about it, right? Start thinking about a Deion and a healthy Tyrann Mathieu and a Hassan Reddick and how they move Chandler Jones around and even a Marcus Golden. I mean, there's a lot for a quarterback and an O-line to consider if this Cardinals defense is what we think it might be.
Yeah, it should be pretty special. It gives us opportunity to go in practice, especially on our side of the ball, to go get some of the best. I'm excited to see where we go defensively because there's a lot of young players. You talked about Marcus. We have Chandler and you got these rookies coming here. So Betches got his hands full on what to do with all these guys, how to get them playing time. And, you know, sounds like we have a bunch of explosive players on the defensive side of the ball.
Versatility is a word we continue to hear, not only on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, positional versatility on offense, defense, and even in transition with special teams. We hear this now, this buzzword. How does that impact what you do on the offensive side of the ball when a defense has versatile players like that?
It just puts us in a situation where we got to know what spot this guy's playing at this time. You know, one time, Ty could be a dime linebacker or he could be the nickel. So you got to make sure you watch out for those guys where they are and how you're identifying them as a defense. So Betch's got his hands full because he's got a lot of players that he's got to get on the grass. So I'm sure he'll come up with a lot of personnel packages.
When you have versatile defenders, right, versatile players on the defensive side of the ball, I would imagine that allows you to be it allows you to confuse an offense. That's probably the best way to say it, right?
Yes.
Because you could do so many different things. It's a tendency buster.
Correct. You know, like I said, he's got his hands full. I know one of the things he likes to do is put players in the best position to succeed. So he's got to sit down with his staff and just make sure the guys are in the right position. But I look forward to it. And the thing that's going to help us on offense, whatever he brings at us, is probably something that we're going to see in the future so we can get prepared for it.
Well, Buda Baker wasn't the only one to meet the media. You had Dorian Johnson, the fourth-round rookie, the offensive lineman. And we learned this about the young man.
So I used to be, like, really heavy in the playing Madden. I think it was, like, Madden 06. So, like, the team that I'd always end up with, my superstar career mode, was like always the Cardinals, like I always did the best with them. So like ever since then I just started, and Larry Fitzgerald being a pit guy too. I think I won the Super Bowl like 7 times.
Oh, there's an old guy moment from Larry when Dorian Johnson tells him, hey, I was a kid and I used to crush Madden 06 with you as my star. So that's going to be a sobering moment for Larry.
That's funny. One thing about that voice, though, he's probably got a voice for radio later on when he retires from football, or he could be the new James Earl Jones voice in Star Wars or something.
Yeah. And here's the voice of Chad Williams. Once again, a pretty outgoing personality and talking about where he got his ball skills.
I always had good ball skills ever since I've been little, but a lot of you guys might not know I played basketball in high school. We won state, I was a state championship MVP in basketball, so I can dunk, rebounds, I'm grabbing rebounds. So, you know, when that football's in the air, it kind of looks like a rebound, and I'll outjump the guy.
Another guy in the Cardinals locker room who thinks he's the best basketball player in the room.
Yeah, they better make sure they do that when they retire. No basketball in all season or during the season, so we got to be smart.
The best thing about it, you hear him say, I could dunk.
Yeah, I don't want to see it right now. All I want to see is maybe possibly you take that fine and dunk it over the goalpost after you score.
Just run the dig route at the right depth, all right?
You know, all the rookies' luggage was upstairs in the lobby area, and somebody brought their own pillow. And I'm like, I don't think you want to let the fellas in the locker room see that you brought your own special pillow with your own flowered pillowcase.
Hey, if it's going to help you play better, I'm all for it. I'll even go buy you one myself.
I see. So any introductory words you're going to tell all these rookies? You get these guys out on the field for rookie minicamp. Is there anything just as tradition you tell each and every rookie?
Just give your best, and you know, we're out there screaming and yelling and using bad words at you. Don't take it personal. We're just trying to make you better, and good luck, man. And try to learn as quick as you can, and make sure you do the right things on the grass.
Is there anything you can actually do in these 3 days, right, the mini camp coming up for the rookies? Anything you can actually do that you'll show the veterans when they come in?
I don't know. I don't think in all my years we've ever had anything that I would show on Monday when the vets come back in, but you know, hopefully it's just guys doing the right thing. And hopefully it's guys playing fast and having fun while doing it.
So you won't introduce anything to the rookies that you're going to actually install when the vets come in?
No, it's all the same. I mean, really and truly, it's all the same stuff. The only thing is we cut back a little bit what we installed 4 weeks ago with the vet players. But we'll cut it back a little bit. But when it comes to Monday, we're full speed ahead.
Well, when you're out there on the grass and you see Wolf walking towards you, he wants to talk the gap scheme versus the power, run. Just go the other way, okay? Oh,
I like talking ball with Wolf.
We're going to have a fullback?
He's passionate.
Oh, no.
Going to have a fullback? No.
Thankfully,
you're coming out of retirement, Wolf, right?
No. Oh, no.
Thankfully, we're out of time to talk fullback with Harold Goodwin. Thanks for joining us, Goody.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, man.
Special thanks. Jim Almohandro, Cody Fincher. This has been the Big Red Rage.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944.
What's up,
this has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.